to pacify the population and make them believe that they have a choice, to distract them from the real power structure, from the real actors that are running the show, the intelligence agencies, and Wall Street. The United States constantly talks about democracy, but they don't even have democracy at home. This is a system that is corrupt, unjust, undemocratic, and favors the rich. Donald Trump and Joe Biden are two sides of the same coin. No matter who wins on November 3rd, black people are still going to get shot, Arabs are still going to be bombed, natives will still be without their land, workers will still be exploited, corporations will be still running the show, the colonization and imperialism and oppression of the global south will continue. In Joe Biden's own words, nothing will fundamentally change. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Richard Medhurst, and this is The Communique.
In the limelight.
U.S. President Donald Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner bragged about Trump getting the country back from the doctors in an April interview with journalist Bob Woodward, a report says. The senior White House advisor boasted that the president was ignoring scientists and medical experts as the coronavirus pandemic unfolded, according to audio obtained by CNN. In a taped interview with the famed journalist on April 18, Kushner claimed U.S. was moving past the panic phase and pain phase of the pandemic and was at the beginning of the comeback phase. That doesn't mean there is not still a lot of pain, and there won't be pain for a while, but that basically was. We've now put out rules to get back to work, said Kushner. Trump's now back in charge. It's not the doctors. Dear listeners, stay with us for an article in this regard written by Kenny Stansel Ryder. This article is published under the heading, As COVID-19 Soars Ahead of Election, Tapes Reveal Kushner Bragging About How Trump Wrestled Response Back from Doctors. Here's the details. As COVID-19 infection rates across the United States of America break records less than a week before the election day, newly released tape reveal how U.S. President Donald Trump's son-in-law and senior advisor Jared Kushner privately bragged in mid-April that the president had successfully undermined the public health officials advising him on the unfolding coronavirus pandemic by committing to reopen the economy despite expert warnings. Trump is getting the country back from the doctors, Kushner boasted to journalist Bob Woodward in an April 18 interview, the audio which was obtained by CNN and released on Wednesday, October 28. At the time, the national caseload was growing by roughly 30,000 per day, while more than 40,000 Americans had already died from COVID-19. As CNN noted on Wednesday, October 28, Kushner's comments from 6 months ago look particularly damning as the U.S. undergoes a fall surge of infections. According to an Axios analysis of COVID-19 data, new coronavirus infections in the U.S. have soared to an all-time high just days ahead of November 3rd. The increase in cases has been accompanied by a rise in the U.S. pandemic death toll, which passed 227,000 on Thursday, October 29th. On average, Axios reported nearly 72,000 people tested positive for the coronavirus every day over the past week. The U.S. set a new record for the most cases in a single day twice in the past week, on its way to the highest 7-day average on record. In mid-April, Kushner told Woodward, "There were three phases. There is the panic phase, the pain phase, and then the comeback phase. I do believe that the last night symbolized kind of the beginning of the comeback phase. that doesn't mean there is not still a lot of pain, and there won't be pain for a while, but that basically was, we've now put out rules to get back to work. Trump's now back in charge. It's not the doctors. We have a negotiated settlement. Dr. Anthony Fauci acknowledged that there had been a pivot away from completely focusing on public health issues to looking at opening up the country with regard to the economy. I don't know exactly the timing, the nation's top infectious disease expert and member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force told CNBC. But it was clear some months ago. Kushner's statement, which critics say confirms that the Trump administration insisted on reopening the economy regardless of the advice offered by health experts and the deadly havoc it would wreak on the public because they thought it was politically beneficial, received widespread condemnation. We know their handling the pandemic was dictated by politics, and that's a big part of the reason it was such an unmitigated disaster, wrote Washington Post columnist Paul Waldman on Wednesday, October 28. But even more infuriating is that it was dictated by bad politics. They could have done the right thing for the wrong reasons, taking steps that would save lives solely to benefit President Trump's re-election campaign, Waldman added. Instead, they did the wrong thing for the wrong reasons. They minimized the pandemic and undermined efforts to contain it because they thought doing so would be a political goldmine. On social media, epidemiologist Eric Fingolding said on Thursday, October 28, that Kushner can go to hell for this comment. If we continue our current behavior, CNN medical analyst Dr. Jonathan Rayner said, by the time we start to go down the other side of the curve, 500,000 people will be dead.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars from IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is the program Viewpoints, and in this series produced by Brother Mahmoud, we are concerned with an analysis on the thoughts and opinions of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on different occasions and different topics. With me in the studio are two guest speakers, two experts from the Islamic House of Qom, Brother Ali Alavian and Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum, brother, and welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thanks for inviting.
You're welcome. And Brother Ali Alavian, assalamu alaikum, brother, welcome to your show.
Alaikum assalam, and thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome, brother. So, this is the continuation on the series regarding the important topic, pure Muhammadan Islam or Islam and Nabi Muhammadi, based on the speeches of Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. We enumerated some of the features of this type of Islam we are concerned with, and we said that the main cause and goal of the Islamic revolution of Iran to take place was a kind of revival to this concept, Islam and Nabi Muhammadi, or pure Muhammadan Islam. So according to the leader of Iran, pure Muhammadan Islam is Sayyid Mohsen, is a kind of Islam that is based on the Holy Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad. It is not a religion of superstition, deviation, extremism, or some of the attributes that are nowadays, unfortunately, in the media, we can say, used as a label for Islam, radical Islam, Islamism. These are the terms that are used nowadays when you are Googling the term Islam, or we can say Islamophobia also, we can say, which is a fear of Islam. When we say Islam and pure Muhammadan Islam based on the Sunnah and the Holy Quran, what do we mean exactly? So we have some important pillars in Islam that are accepted by all. These are the causes of the unity, as Rahbar also said. But the main question is, if we are not going to accept Islam through the Holy Quran and the Sunnah, what will be the repercussions, Brother Ali, the consequences
Look,
for the
I
Muslims?
Think we need to clarify some points here first. I believe that the leader of the Islamic Ummah, when he talks about the Sunnah and Quran and he asks us to follow the real Sunnah, he's not actually insisting actually wants others to follow whatever we follow, whatever we understand.
But we, you mean but, by we but means Shia, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, okay. I mean as the followers of okay. the Ahlul Bayt. But he wants to make us, actually, this is my understanding. We have a criteria. Our criteria is Quran. Let's base whatever we understand from the Sunnah with Quran. If it goes with Quran, it is okay.
Okay.
You can accept it.
Okay.
Look, whatever Ahl Bayt al-Muslim say, they are exactly 100% based on the Quran. We cannot find anything saying by Ahl Bayt or said by Ahl Bayt, and it is against Quran. So we have, at least we have one common thing.
Okay.
And even Ahl Bayt to some extent actually is, have been accepted, as the brother said, by some other Islamic sects. I don't want to mention any of them specifically. So when we have a criteria, then we can act upon that and go. So in this criteria, we have some bases in Quran. We have some rules in Quran. Based on those rules, we can follow exactly and see what the Prophet understood and what the Ahl Bayt al-Islam told us. We see that we can reach to an agreement, to a convergence in Islam.
Sorry, Brother Ali, let me disagree you over here.
Tell me.
When you looked at the different magazines and the, we can say, letters and the news produced by ISIS, they said that our understanding is exactly based on the Holy Quran.
Mm-hmm.
And the Sunnah Prophet
Quran, which was interpreted by whom?
Okay, this is the problem. This is my question now. Now, I do want to say, and they were, we can say, attracting so many people by this type of understanding, okay? So, and they were gaining power.
This is what we are going to do now.
This is the ideological
power. We want to tell them what kind of understanding of Quran is true.
And based on that, different interpreters from the other sources, from the other religions, have criticized Islam that, look, This is the real Islam they are referring to based on the verses of the Holy Quran. I do want to say, mere understanding the Holy Quran or reciting it for long times in our prayer and salas does not bring us any kind of recognition of the true meaning of the Quran. This is what unfortunately some of the sects inside Islam do, and they say, okay, Holy Quran, a revelation from Allah, so our understanding based on that is absolutely true, so let's recite it, let's recite long surahs from it, and doing this and doing that, a parrot-like imitation out of the sunnah, of the prophetic sunnah. The main question is this: if we are not going to be trapped by these deceptions, the Islam that is the Islam of innovation and superstition, and we want to get back to the main sources and the original Islam, let me repeat my question again, to whom shall we refer in the 21st century?
Look, brother, you said that
all of the people do not have time to go to the Ahlul Bayt books and read them, or read Nahjul Balagh or Sahifa, or do this or do that, brother.
Yeah, right. But you said that the understanding of Quran is not enough. If understanding of Quran is not enough, so what is the good of Quran then?
This is my question.
So mere
understanding of the Quran is not enough. I mean, practicing it is something else, isn't it?
Yeah. I want to say first, in order to practice, you need to understand it first.
Okay.
So understanding and the basis of, for example, some rules and rules of understanding Quran. You cannot enter a notion and I want to dive into this ocean and capture it and do whatever I can. No, the Quran is an ocean. So for understanding how to dive into it and how to be with it, how to benefit from it.
Okay.
So you need to have some guidelines. Who That's is right. giving you the guidelines?
Uh-huh.
So we need to define those people, those who can give us a good understanding, good enlightenment from the Quran.
So everybody from different sects of Muslims will say, "I am the experts of the Quran."
Yes, but the Prophet. But the Prophet said, "Who is?" Who is the real interpreter of the Quran? Who is this on the same weight of the Quran? They are the Ahlul Bayt. So this is what what he frequently said, and it is accepted by both sects, by different sects in Islam. In Islam world, they have all accepted that the Prophet said that talking Quran? These are the Ahlul Bayt. So they are the ones who can define and interpret Quran in the right way that we are after.
Okay.
So Quran, in this sense, is a good criteria for
us. Let's have Said Mohsen commenting on what you said.
Someone can argue that these are the hadith that are near Shia. Is Quran enough for us or not? That's the discussion. Okay. That's the new question. Mm-hmm. Do we need someone with the Quran or not? Because it is said like the Quran itself is enough. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, verse number, I just mentioned Surah chapter Tawbah, verse number 119.
This is what Khawarij said. Khawarij said that Quran is enough for us.
So in
verse, Mohsen is also commenting on that. He says Quran is not enough.
I'm bringing the proof that Quran is not enough on its own.
Okay.
Yeah. And did you get that?
Yeah, yeah.
You said that he's saying Quran is enough for us?
No, I thought that Said under. I mean,
trying to explain why Quran is not enough on its own.
Said is trying to explain why the Holy Quran is not enough.
Go ahead. Sorry for interruption.
Chapter Tawbah, verse number 119. Allah says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha wa kunu ma'as sadiqin." I mentioned this verse in the beginning of the program
Yes, that's right.
If you look at the interpretation of tafsir, for example, on one hand, Brother Alaviyan has mentioned the narrations of the Prophet regarding Ahlul Bayt.
Yes.
Does intellect also orders to this or not? Mm-hmm. Does intellect or aql also agrees on this or not?
Okay.
One of the greatest scholar amongst the Ahl Sunnah is Fakhr Razi.
That's right.
Who was the great scholar and the philosopher and the theologist, you can say, like amongst the Ahl Sunnah. In his Tafsir Kabir, he mentions under this verse, and he argues, what is this? Basically, in this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ordering, oh, the believers, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. He's talking to the believers. He says to the believers, ittaqullah. This ittaqullah is obviously following the Quran in order to get the taqwa of Ilahi. Wa kunu ma'as sadiq, and be with the rightful people.
That's right.
Now he argues here, he says that Allah did not mention the believers of the time of the Prophet or after him. He generally talked about all the believers. It means that this verse mentions, covers the believers until the Qiyamah, till the day of judgment. So all the believers who will come till the Qiyamah are under this verse. Number one. Number two, when Allah is talking with the believers and He say, be with the truthful ones, so that truthful ones should be someone who is higher in rank than the believers.
Than the believers, very good.
Because obviously believers, they are praying, they are not committing sins. That's why we call them mu'min. Now here we have the difference between Muslim and mu'min. Mu'min is the highest rank in the Islam.
Okay.
A person who does not commit any kind of sin and he is following all the rules of the Islam. So he argues that because Allah is talking to the mu'mineen, to the real believers who do not commit sin, the one who can be above them, to whom they, Allah will say, like, you believers need to follow this truthful person.
That's
he
right.
should be above them. He shouldn't be equal to them. Otherwise,
so there's
Allah,
a hierarchy over
there's
here.
There's a hierarchy.
That's right, very good.
So there, if this hierarchy wasn't there, Allah should say, oh, mu'minin, follow the mu'minin.
Uh-huh.
Allah did not say, follow the mu'minin. Okay. He said, truthful.
That's all right.
On the next step, third step, he argues that this truthful people...
He is Fakhr Razi, you are referring
Fakhr
to.
Fakhr Razi, okay. Yes. He said that These truthful people must be infallibles. Now, there's a difference between mu'min and infallible. Infallible, who from his birth does not commit any sin.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, the prophets are infallible. The a'imah, ayatat here,
that's right,
refers to the infallibility of the a'imah. So he argues there that these truthful people must be infallible. They are, because they're higher in rank than the mu'minin. And mu'mineen are the followers of the infallible.
So does Fakhr al-Razi by the term ma'asum mean exactly our infallible imams?
Well,
or
he generally talks about the infallible. They must be infallible. So till the Qiyamah, all the mu'mineen should follow an infallible person. And that is the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if someone does that, he must, in order to get the Qur'an or taqwa ilahi, we can say like the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he needs to follow an infallible. Now, the answer is, and obviously we say we have the answer, who are those infallibles?
Uh-huh.
Even Ahl Sunnah know that, who are the infallibles. The Ahlul Bayt are the infallibles.
That's right.
And in the Quran we have that. Allah said, like, if you want to give the reward for what the Prophet have done, you need to love the Ahl Bayt.
Mawaddat
Ahl Bayt.
Yes, okay.
So all these things are mentioned there.
Did
so basically,
Fakhr Razi himself follow
Tafsir
the infallible? No, Anna, did he himself follow the Ahlul Bayt?
Well,
the
that's another brother. That's another
Because I had the same discussion said with
we are arguing
Wahhabi.
That in the Quran when we have
Islam
this verse,
Islam and Nabi Muhammadi through the true sources.
Yeah, I know.
At least I do want to say
it is right. Okay. Said is right. Fakhr Razi in his interpretation, even under the ayah of
Tathir, we are not talking about a specific person.
Let me say one point. Under the ayah of Tathir, it says whatever says. Actually, he proves that
the ma'asum,
the infallibility of the Ahlul Bayt. Actually, when I raised this argument with a follower of another sect in Islam, he turned back to me and said that he was a Shia. Simply, he was also a Shia. What are you saying?
That's because obviously we have this discussion with the brothers as well.
Okay.
When we talk about the Suyuti, Jalaluddin Suyuti, they say, okay, he was the follower of Ahl Bayt or...
Okay.
When we talk about Fakhr al-Razi, they say the same thing.
Yes.
What about Abu Hanifa?
Yes.
Imam Abu Hanifa was the follower of Ahlul Bayt. He had this belief that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is the bila fasl caliph.
Yes.
Like right after the Prophet, he is the successor of the Prophet.
I do want to say
Imam Hanbal had, Imam Shafi has the same. Imam Shafi has a point.
The best authenticity.
That if the love of Ahlul Bayt is kufr, is disbelieving, then I'm akfar. I'm the biggest disbeliever.
Yes. That's right.
In the Islam.
Yeah.
So we have it. At this point, if we are talking to a specific person in a specific, we can say, follower of the specific school of thought.
Even among the caliphs.
He is not authority for us.
It is narrated that Omar said also that if it was not because of Ali more than 100 times I would perish because of the answers and because of everything. I do want to say, if you want to give authenticity to one category of thought, the best I think answer is to extract the answers from and to extract the opinions from the opponents of those groups, and according to what the leader said and what the Shia and Bosa Sunni says, the best interpreters of the Holy Quran have been the Ahlul Bayt themselves, and that's all, and because they have the knowledge, and we know that Among the other sects of Islam who call themselves interpreters or commentators of the Holy Quran, they have all been the students of Imam al-Baghir and Imam al-Sadiq, following those lines.
Just one sentence,
so,
if I can.
We are done, I think.
One sentence, okay. If I can add on this.
Okay.
For us, the authenticity of something is what is nearest to the Prophet. In the history, we look for the books.
Okay.
For us today, if someone comes and say Fakhr al-Razi, for example, is a Shia, he's not an authentic thing for us.
Okay.
We need to look in the history.
Yes.
That in history, does the ulama of Ahl Sunnah used to say like Fakhr al-Razi be their imam, Imam al-Kabir, and he had this tafasir, or Jalaluddin Suyuti, or other imams that they had. So we need to look at the history, basically.
Yes.
In history, it is proved that he was Mu'tazili, and obviously he was from that. So for us, the argument is, if today our listeners want to go and refer to the real things or the real idea about these scholars, maybe
that's right,
they need to go back to the history,
okay,
and look at the history, like the ones who've been approved by the ulama, their scholars, they are their scholars.
So we have to get back to the original Islam based on studying, and this is what I think the Muslim community and the Muslim youth nowadays lack, because if we do not have true understanding through studying the Holy Quran, history of Islam and the Sunnah, then the selective, we can say, understanding of the Islam can get into what Sayyid called the British Islam or the American Islam and not the pure Muhammadan Islam.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Brother Ali Alavian.
Thanks to you,
and
brother.
Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, it was very kind of you. I really benefited from your discussion. And I hope that our dear listeners benefited from this series of the discussions and analysis on the thoughts and some of the most outstanding opinions of the Supreme Leader of Iran, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. Visit our website, parstoday.com/Ian Call of Islam page. Also our YouTube page, Call of Islam Radio. We bid farewell to you. God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, they are guiding me through. Whenever I feel down, you can lift me up, turning my life around with your love. No matter how rough it gets, I can wear a smile, 'cause your mercy never dries, yeah.
Food for thought.
Salam, and here are words of guidance from the Prophet of Islam that are food for thought for Islamic unity. On the resurrection day, no foot of a servant of Allah will move before being asked about four things: the years and how they were spent, the body and how it was used, the wealth and how it was earned and spent, and about love towards us, the Ahlul Bayt.
Thank you.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
Democrats on the House Oversight Committee accused HHS officials of engaging in a cover-up to conceal the Trump administration's misuse of hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars for partisan political purposes, says Jake Johnson Ryder in an article published under the heading Documents Reveal WH Officials Try to Use $250 Million in Taxpayer Money on COVID Ad Campaign to Boost Trump Re-Election. Stay tuned for the details, please. New documents released on Thursday, October 29th by Democrats on the House Oversight Committee revealed that Trump administration officials explicitly attempt to use $250 million taxpayer-funded public advertising and awareness campaign to put a rosy spin on President Donald Trump's disastrous coronavirus response and boost his effort to win re-election. In early September, the Department of Health and Human Services doled out a lucrative contract to the Washington, D.C. consultancy firm Force Marsh Group to help the administration with an ad blitz framed as an attempt to defeat, despair, and inspire hope in the fight against coronavirus, which has killed more than 227,000 Americans on Trump's watch. Initial reports on the massive pre-election and campaign, which has not yet gone live, immediately drew suspicion from Democratic lawmakers, particularly given that it was pushed and coordinated by Michael Caputo, a scandal-plagued HHS communications official who previously worked on Trump's 2016 campaign. Following this, documents on the matter were shared to the Washington Post by three Democratic congressional representatives, revealing that HHS Assistant Secretary for Public Affairs, Michael Caputo, was seemingly in charge of the initiative. Allegedly, Caputo had proposed the angle of the coronavirus awareness campaign be helping the president will help the country. Caputo, alongside other Trump appointees, then went on to consider more than 274 celebrities who could star as the campaign's spokesperson. During this process, the majority of them were called for obvious reasons. Days after the $250 million contract was awarded to Force Marshall Group, House Oversight Committee Democrats launched an investigation into the ad campaign and demanded that HHS turn over documents and communications related to the effort. When HHS persistently refused to cooperate, the lawmakers turned to the contractors and subcontractors involved in the effort and obtained documents showing that Caputo openly framed the ad blitz as effort to boost the president, whose disastrous response to the pandemic led to between 130,000 and 210,000 preventable COVID-19 deaths, according to one estimate. In one messaging document obtained by the Oversight Committee, Caputo pitched helping the president will help the country as a tagline for the ad campaign. Of course, it is completely inappropriate to frame a taxpayer-funded ad campaign around helping President Trump in the weeks and days before election. Representatives Caroline Maloney, Jim Clyburn, and Raja Krishnamurti wrote in a letter on Thursday, October 29th, to HHS Secretary Alex Azar. The theme also ignores the reality that more than 220,000 Americans have died from coronavirus, a fact that should not be whitewashed in a legitimate public health message. Additional documents obtained by the Oversight Committee show that Trump officials instructed contractors to vet the political views of celebrities being considered for roles in the public ad campaign, including their past statements on Trump. The Trump administration and its contractors criticize celebrities who support positions they characterize as part of the liberal left, the House Democrats wrote on Thursday, October 29th. As of October 1st, 2020, all celebrities who had agreed to participate in PSA campaign have withdrawn their consent to do so. A spokesperson for HHS told Politico on Thursday, October 29th, that ad campaign is currently under review and said Azar was unaware of Caputo's involvement with the public relations effort. In the letter to Azar, the trio of House Democrats wrote that your failure to provide the documents we requested, especially in light of the information we have learned from contractors, appears to be part of a cover-up to conceal the Trump administration's misuse of hundreds of millions of taxpayer dollars for partisan political purposes ahead of the upcoming election, and to direct taxpayer funds to friends and allies of Trump administration officials.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salaamu Alaikum, and this is today's special for you. Today we're going to speak about Islam. Islam, a message of peace. Rasulullah, Habiballah, Rasulullah, Habiballah.
Only glory to him. He born in humans to be the best and give his best religion to them.
What date is today? Today, Sunday, is the 15th of Rabiul Awwal, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Aban, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of November, 2020 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran. We look at chapter Yunus, verse 72. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. فإن توليتم فما سألتكم من أجر إن أجري إلا على الله. وأمرت أن أكون من المسلمين.
And if you turn away from my advice, then no payment have I asked of you. My reward is only from Allah, and I have been commanded to be of the Muslims.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The verse implies that if they turn away from accepting Noah's words, he would not be at a disadvantage, for he was not after their wealth, he did not covet, so that their turning away would put him at a loss. On the contrary, their rejection would turn out to be at their own disadvantage. He emphasized that his reward for the prophetic mission and its accomplishment lay with Allah alone, and Allah, the Gracious, had commissioned Noah, peace be upon him, to be among those who had submitted themselves to his commandments, for indeed the best of what the servants of Allah can practice is to obey and submit to him.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept al-Habib. يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
Islam, religion of peace. This is topic of today's special. The Muslims greet each other by saying Salamun Alaikum. That means peace be on you. It is a much better way of the modern good morning. The ritual prayer of Islam ends on peace. When the Muslims say peace be on you and mercy and blessings of Allah. In Islam, one of the names of God is Salam. Many Muslims address him in these words after every prayer. O Allah, you are peace. From you originate peace, and to you it returns. That is why the final abode which Allah has provided for the believers and to which he invites them is called Darus Salam. That means abode of peace. Allah the Almighty in the Holy Quran chapter 6 verse 1 to 7 says, they shall have the abode of peace with their Lord. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The Holy Quran mentions it in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. كلما أوقدوا نارا للحرب أطفأها الله ويسعون في الأرض فسادا والله لا يحب المفسدين. Whenever they wanted to kindle the fire of war, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extinguished it. ويسعون في الأرض فسادا. Those people want to continue their wrongdoings on the earth. Wallahu la yuhibbul fasad, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like corruption of any kind. Elsewhere, the Holy Quran recommends people to embrace the Islamic religion wholeheartedly and out of love for peace. Another Quranic verse in this regard is in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. O people who have faith. Udkhulu fas-salmi kaffa. All of you are expected to enter the realm of peace. Wa la tattabi'u khutuwat ash-shaytan. You are expected not to follow Satan. Innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Because he is your staunch enemy. In the realm of maintaining good peaceful negotiations with the people of the book, that is, with the followers of other Abrahamic religions, other divine religions. The Holy Quran is explicit in this way. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ O Prophet, قُلْ, O Prophet, say to other people, to the people of the book, قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ Say, تَعَالُوا إِلَىٰ كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ Come to the word which is common between you and us. أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ That we shouldn't worship anybody save Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا نُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا And we shouldn't associate anybody with him, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَتَّخِذُ بَعْضُنَا بَعْضًا أَرْبَابًا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ Such that none of us should regard anybody else amongst the deity out of or alongside with the deityhood of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
With today's special and amazing tips to become a better Muslim. For today, we have practice Islam as much as you can. Prophet Muhammad, peace be on him and his pure progeny, says, He who loves my sunnah has loved me, and he who loves me will be with me in paradise. As a new Muslim, you will have trouble keeping up with prayers every day, fasting during Ramadan, and the many other practices in this religion. The struggle that we face with such a radical change in lifestyle is difficult and will take some time. Awkward moments are bound to happen. Don't fret. You are not expected to wake up at 4 a.m. every morning to pray, not prayers. If you have problems with certain practices, then gradually work yourself into the mindset of worship. A counselor once told, How do you eat an elephant? Just one bite at a time. Think of it as one step at a time. Pray to Allah and ask Him to make it easy for you, and the rest will come naturally. Dear friend, keeping up with your devotional practices is something that will strengthen your faith immensely. Read the Quran whenever possible. Find a collection of hadiths, just as Nahjul Balagha, and read it often. You will start to feel a connection to Allah, and you will become used to Islam as a religion and a way of life.
You came to me in that hour of need, when I was so lost, so lonely. You came to me, took my breath away, showed me the right way, the way to lead. You filled my heart with love, showed me the light above. Now all I want is to be with you. You are my one true love, taught me. To be with you.
We start from now. things you need to know to understand Islam. Allah is just another word for God, not a different God. Many tend to equate the word Allah with simply being an Islamic thing, but the word Allah is just the Arabic word for God. Christians in the Middle East who speak Arabic, therefore, will also use the word Allah when reading the Bible. Muslims also love Jesus and Mary. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, is the final prophet. Is the final prophet in the Abrahamic religions for Muslims. But Muslims also believe in and love Jesus and Mary. Muslims think that Jesus was also a prophet before Prophet Muhammad, and there is an entire chapter in the Quran named in honor of Mother Mary.
They come and say, your religion is founded upon killing other people. Your religion, a core belief in your belief system, you Muslims believe that you have to spread the religion of Islam through killing and through violence. And they say, you see in the pamphlets and magazines and books and the news, you see they bring out some verses in the Quran, taking them out of context and saying that this is the religion of Islam. This is from your Quran. If I believe in the religion of Islam, I should be able to defend the religion of Islam. Or else, why believe? What's the point of believing? We must defend ourselves. And we defend ourselves by educating. So now, if we go to the Ahlul Bayt, and if we go to Rasulullah, we will see that all of these verses, they have a different meaning. Jihad, spreading Islam through the sword, does not exist in the religion of Islam. There's no such a thing as spreading the religion of Islam by the sword. It's not mandatory upon any Muslim to convert another person to the religion of Islam. Unlike other religions, Christianity, through the Crusades, they believe, and through missionaries today, they believe that they have to spread the religion of Christianity. We don't have that in the religion of Islam. You help someone become a Muslim, Allah will reward you. It's very good for you. But it's not wajib upon us to convert others to the religion of Islam. The media is working and struggling and striving just to bring down the religion of Islam.
Mustafa, Mustafa.
We continue this interesting topic, inshallah, in another episode of today's special. So be with us tomorrow. Fi amanillah.
And hearts frozen from your Allah came a prophet chosen. Less prophets, Muhammad, obedient to you, taught us the things we are to do. Muhammad, ya Rasul Allah, Muhammad, ya Habib Allah, Muhammad, ya Nabi.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.